So today is Refreshment Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Lent. Laetare Sunday, as it's also known. And you might lose track of the Sundays in Lent because we don't have the little candles to light at this time of year. So I thought I'd let you know this is the one where if you've not been taking the opportunities every Sunday to break your Lenten fast, you're definitely allowed to do it this week. You are allowed to break them every Sunday. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but you are allowed to break your Lenten fast every Sunday, which is why they're called the Sundays in Lent, not the Sundays of Lent, because Sunday is always a celebration. So if you've not taken the opportunity yet, do it now. Go and grab that coffee or the candy bar or the glass of something or whatever it is. You completely have the church's permission to do it. So this is meant to be a break, a change in pace in the middle of Lent, an opportunity to celebrate in worship and prayer, in relaxing, whatever, a kind of oasis of joy in a somber, serious season. And then we get to the readings. Woe is me, for I have become like one who, after the summer fruit has been gathered, after the vintage has been gleaned, finds no cluster to eat. There is no first ripe fig for which I hunger. The faithful have disappeared from the land, and there is no one left who is upright. They all lie in wait in blood, and they hunt each other with nets. It's also echoed in the psalm, if you were listening to that. Oh, okay then. How about James chapter 5? Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will, and I liked the way Bob read this, it will eat your flesh like fire. Happy, 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 joy, joy, joy. If this is a celebration, someone forgot to tell the compilers of our lectionary, our cycle of readings. Refreshment Sunday, wahey. But it's not like our scriptures are miserable all the way through. There's lots of celebratory stuff, lots of joyful stuff. We did get the 23rd Psalm this morning, so our souls got a little bit restored. But why these choices? Well, obviously, as you have the lessons before you, I have cherry-picked the openings to make a point. If you were listening, you would have heard a tone shift in Micah as the prophet moves from a doom-laden opening via a declaration of hope for a future of Israel, then a celebration of the nature of God finishes it off. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? God does not retain their anger forever because God delights in showing clemency. God will again have compassion upon us and will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. James likewise goes on with multiple aspects of advice that the writer is giving to the early church. Be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Do not grumble at one another. Pray for the sick. Celebrate. Receive forgiveness. Recognize that righteous prayer is answered. Welcome those who have strayed. Our scriptures are not one thing. Yet to hear some people speak, one might think that the whole Bible dropped from heaven as one big block called Bible. No, there's a lot of genres in our scriptures. Myth, poetry, history, kinda. Humor, wisdom, proverbs, parables, visions, prophecy, and so much more. It's all there, reflecting the many different experiences we all have in life, and all of it pointing towards the divine being a part of every moment, every type of experience. God, says our scripture, shares our lives. And this is important. Why? It's important because spirituality is not meant to be detached, a detached separate thing from our everyday living. On the contrary, our spiritual life is there to sustain us and challenge us in our everyday living. The epistle of James, from which our second reading was taken, is full of practical advice on how to put faith into action, how to live out the values we claim to hold. So much so that the great reformer Martin Luther dismissed it as an epistle of straw because he felt it deflected from the pure faith that causes us to be right with God. The author of James, on the contrary, writes, "Faith without works is dead," in chapter 2, verse 26, if you want to go and look at it, or even at the longer context of it, verses 14 to 26. That's what Luther really disagreed with and why he wanted the book dumped. Faith is not meant to be contained within churches, within walls, or even within ourselves. It calls us to engage with creation, with society, with one another, to engage in the work of justice and equity, to take action and to live faithfully. At a webinar I was at last year, Cornel West said, and I love the way he does this, "A dear brother said to me, 'Stay woke, brother.' And I responded, 'I do not want to stay woke. I want to be rested so I can do the work of justice with all my strength.'" He says it better than I do. So on this refreshment Sunday, may our faith be refreshed to face the challenges of our world and make a difference. Amen.